confusion and noise and different things going on. They'll have a great VBS, I think. Tonight, I want to echo again what was said, the announcements, by saying you are our welcome guest. If you're visiting with us tonight, looking around the auditorium, I don't know if anybody here is visiting or not, but if you are, we certainly appreciate you being here tonight. We hope we'll get to meet you and greet you before you leave tonight. I am going to be talking about a subject that I mentioned in a Devo about 3 months ago, and did I'll make some similar statements that I made in the Devo about 3 months ago. So if you think you're having deja vu, you probably have heard a couple of things that I'll say. You're not having that. You did actually hear those things in the past. Paul, if you can bring up slide number one there. He's doing double duty up in the sound booth, so I'll give him a minute to get there. About last summer, I was able to attend my 38th high school reunion. And always when I go back to my hometown, and anytime I get a chance to go back to my hometown, I go by the cemetery to pay my respects at the cemetery. And a couple of things I want to point out in the lesson today. Number one is that fella right there, that's not me. I know a lot of you say, well, that looks a lot like you, but most of you aware I have a twin brother, and that's my twin brother standing there by a tombstone. The second thing I want you to notice is that that name on the tombstone is my last name. Wow, now that's a sobering thing when you go to a cemetery and you go to a tombstone that's got your name on it. Because ladies and gentlemen in the audience tonight, every one of us at some point in time, unless Jesus comes back during our lifetimes, are going to end up in that type of place. We're going to end up at the cemetery. So we're going to make some observations about the cemetery and about some things that are going on at the cemetery. That takes us really to our first verse, which is in Hebrews 9, verse 27. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. And the Hebrew writer there says, we are appointed once to what? Once to die, and then the judgment. And each one of us is going to meet that appointment. Now, when you go to the cemetery and you look on most of those tombstones, you're going to see two different dates on those headstones. You're going to see a date of birth, and you're going to see a date of death. And that's pretty common for most cemeteries. There might be a little writing on the tombstone. There might be something written there about the person. But generally, there's very little information that you have on a tombstone about that person. All you know is generally the date that they were born on and the date that they died on. Now, something I found kind of interesting about walking around a cemetery is that there is not a lot of dates on there that are the same. If you walk through a cemetery and you try to find dates of people that were born on the same day or that passed on the same day, it's almost impossible to find anybody who was born and who passed away exactly on the same date unless they were involved in some tragic accident and several people were killed all at the same time. It's usually different dates. And that is because we are unique people. Each one of us is unique. Not only to ourselves, but we are unique to God. And God sees each one of us as an individual person. He sees each one of us as a unique person. Now, something that you won't be able to see in the picture there is at the bottom of the tombstones, there's a couple of footstones there. Now, those footstones belong to my mom and dad. And on one of the footstones, it says, gives my dad's name, and he was born in 1918 and passed away in 2003. And my mom's is beside him, and she was born in 1921, and she passed away in 2005. So that's about all the information that you know about them. And if you read those footstones, you wouldn't know any more than what you know now The only way you'll know more about them is what I tell you. And that's how we pass along a lot of information about people that we know and love, is we tell people what we knew about them. We pass on that information about them. We share stories about them. That's how we carry on the tradition of somebody who has passed away. But you know, when you look at that headstone or that footstone, usually between the date of birth and the date of death, there's going to be a little mark in there, a little dash in there. And think about what that little mark or that dash actually represents. That represents somebody's entire lifetime. Now, we don't know what's in a person's dash. You don't know. You know what's in your dash. You might know a lot about what's in your spouse's dash because you've lived with them a long time. But for the most part, we don't know, you know, what exists in other people's dashes, do we? But God knows. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. There's no secrets to Him located in that dash. Turn over to Luke chapter 16. I appreciated Brother Decker for being here this morning. Brother Decker got in a little bit to my lesson. That usually happens when great minds think alike, right? I don't even try to say that I'm anywhere near Brother Decker. He did a great job this morning, and sometimes it's difficult to follow a speaker like him. But he did talk about the rich man and Lazarus, and I wanted to mention that along with our lesson tonight and tell you a couple things about that. Number one, something we have in common with, or everybody in this cemetery has in common, is that they know their eternal destination. Everybody who's in that cemetery knows where they're going to be. And how do we know that? We can turn over to Luke chapter 16. So let's do that now. Luke chapter 16. We're going to look starting reading in verse 19. Luke chapter 16, start reading in verse 19. Now, Brother Decker pointed out this morning that this is not a parable, because a parable is written a certain way, and something Jesus is trying to inform us about is written a certain way. So please keep that in mind as we're reading. This is something that actually is going on here. So the rich man, as Brother Decker mentioned, was in torment. Back when this was written, he's still in torment today, and that was, you know, 2,000 years ago. So think about that length of time that has passed. Now let's look, starting at verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Okay. And being in torments, and this is the rich man, and being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. What do we have in common with the cemetery up here and the people that are in it? We're going to all be in that place. And when we come to this place up here that's on the screen, we are going to know what our eternal destination is. All of us will know where we're going to spend eternity. Now, the unsettling part of that is, how can you change that? Well, once you end up in the cemetery, you can't change it. When you're in this position, that all the people in this cemetery, and there were probably thousands of tombstones in that cemetery, and a lot of them I knew. A lot of the names I knew, the people in there I knew, wow, it was a lot more crowded than the last time I'd been there. So lots of people in the cemetery. But all those people, knowing their eternal destination, they can't change it, and they can't do anything about it. When can we do something about it? Obviously, the answer to that is now. We have an opportunity to do something about our eternal destination while we're here on this earth, not when we get in the grave. So along with the expression about what's in your dash, the dash on your tombstone, you have the ability now to change what's in your dash now. But just in a few short years, and who knows, maybe even tonight for some of us, we will not have an opportunity to change anything that's in our dash. And what's ever written there when we go into the grave will be written there for eternity. Now, let's turn over to another verse. Let's go over to 1 Timothy 2. I said that God knows each one of us personally and knows everything about us. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy 2. And we're going to look at chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2, chapter 2. We'll start reading in verse 1. And of course, this is Paul talking to Timothy and us also. And he says, therefore, I exhort first all of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. And we could preach an entire sermon on that. Those two verses about showing reverence to people that are in high places, in positions, government officials, those kind of things. Even sometimes when we don't agree with everything the government's doing, look what Paul says about how we should treat those people. Pray for them and respect them. And look what he says in verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Desires all men to be saved, not just some men, not just the people in this auditorium, not just the people in, you know, your circle of friends. He desires all men to be saved. Unfortunately and sadly, not all people are going to be saved. Not all people are going to be in Abraham's bosom in heaven. In fact, there's probably a lot more that will be in torments in Hades than there will be in heaven. And that's a sad thing, because in our society today, we're trying to warn people, we're trying to tell people, we're trying to say, hey, that's not the way you want to act, that's not the way you want to live, that's not what the Bible teaches. And people today don't want to hear that, because they want to live the way they want to live and not the way the Bible wants them to live. Finally, let's go over to Revelation 20. Revelation 20. A lot of people who have the dash up on their tombstone, we don't know what's in it. Nobody knows what's in that. God knows what's in it. But do you realize that what is in your dash, what is on your tombstone, will be made public on the day of judgment? Because the books are going to be open. In other words, your life, your dash, what you created on this earth is going to be opened. And the scary part is we're going to be judged on the works that we have done, on the things that we did while we were on this earth. Every one of us will be judged on that. Let's look over at Revelation 20, and I'll start reading in verse 12. Revelation 20. We'll start reading in verse 12, and we'll go 12 and probably 13 here. Starting in verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Dead were judged. So there is going to be a judgment day. Every person will be judged. Will be judged on what we have done, will be judged on what things are in our dash. So when you're looking at somebody's tombstone and you're looking at the dash on that tombstone, there's a lot of information in there we wish we knew about. There's a lot of things that we'd say, man, I wish I knew more about that person. I wish I knew more about that particular individual. And we'll never know it this side of eternity. But there is something in that dash that's more important than anything else. There's a date located in that dash that's more important than any other date, even more important the day you were born or the day you'll pass away. And that day, and that date is a date that you became a Christian. That's the date that you put on Jesus in baptism. That's the date that you were baptized. That's the most important date in your dash. My date was November 19th, 1972. November 19th, 1972. Wow, that's quite a few years ago. I'll have to look. Maybe that was 43. It'll be 43 years ago if I live to November of this year. 43 years ago. But that, by far, is the most important thing that I'll ever have done in my lifetime. The most important thing that any one of us can do in our lifetime will be to secure our place in heaven, to secure our place in eternity. Now, most of us know that once you become a Christian, there's still a lot of living left, right? It's just not an automatic pass. You know, you can fall off. But most people, unfortunately, will not even have that date in their dash. You can go through their lifetime and they'll never have a date that they were baptized. And when Jesus on the day of judgment stands before everyone, we all stand before him and stand before God, and he's saying, depart from me, I never knew you. There's going to be a lot of people saying, I was a good person, I did good things. I was the Chamber of Commerce president, and I was the president of this charity or that charity. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Because located in that dash, that date of salvation, that date when you knew Jesus, when you became a Christian, is not located there. That's the most important date. Tonight, there may be somebody in the audience who has not made that decision, has not put on Christ in baptism. We would love to be able to help you with that. We might have some kids in the back, some of the older kids in the back that make that decision tonight, and that'd be great. They're not in here tonight for us to extend the invitation, but hopefully out of this VBS we'll have several kids that'll make that decision. Or you might have somebody in the audience tonight who needs the prayers of the congregation. We'd certainly like to pray for you and help you and do what we can for you. If you have any need and we can do anything for you, please come now while we stand and while we sing.
If you are here tonight, you have not had the opportunity to take the Lord's Supper. If you pass it